What if you could have new customers chase you down instead of the other way around? What if price was removed as an objection for new customers? Or what if you could stand out without saying a single word? Increase your sales, get more leads, and build a brand with Green Frog Web Design. Get a website that helps you pre-sell your work and remove price as an objection. And we have a great offer for the Million Dollar Landscaper podcast listeners. You can get your first month for only $1 with Scott and have your website live in 3 weeks from the projected start date, or it's free for a year. And now, are you tired of sending people to the crusty old website you have? Or is your website impossible to find on Google? Or just does it lack the proper SEO? Allow Green Frog Web Design to build you a new website or improve the SEO on your current website so that it converts visitors and helps you get ranked on Google.
We want to take a quick second to tell you about our friends over at Cycle CPA. I can't even express to you how important it is to have a good accountant on your side. You know you want accurate bookkeeping and financial statements every month. Instead, you're often left with limited time to focus on the accounting side of your business and no reports to show for it. At Cycle CPA, the landscaping accountants, they not only handle the bookkeeping, but also provide landscape industry benchmarking, job costing, financials by service line, advisory meetings, and much more. Cycle CPA has a team of landscaping accountants available to provide anything from bookkeeping to CFO services. Visit cyclecpa.com and for $100 off, mention the Million Dollar Landscaper podcast.
Welcome back to the Million Dollar Landscaper Podcast. Today, I'm super excited to bring back on an awesome guest here. His name is Matt Smith of the Service Industry Coach and Service Industry Coach Podcast. Welcome, Matt. Thanks for being back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on here today. Again, like I said, today we are going to dive into accountability and how it plays a role in not only your personal life, but your business life as well. And this is something that you work with people on, Matt?
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of business coaching, and what I've kind of realized, especially like over the last 12 months, as I've been on this journey myself as well, is like your business can't thrive until your personal life is in order, and your business can't thrive until you have the discipline in order to do the things that are required every single day, regardless of how you feel. So I've just kind of naturally fallen into this passion for accountability.
So for those that aren't familiar with yourself, you mind like introducing yourself, telling us a little bit about what you do and the podcast and everything?
I've been an entrepreneur for, since like 2012. I'm in my mid-30s now. I've built multiple seven-figure businesses. And now what I really focus on with majority of my time is helping people, you know, like your listeners who are specifically in the home service business space. And we basically implement the systems that I have in my existing businesses into theirs to help them grow and scale. And I also do a lot of one-on-one coaching with business owners who are just wanting to become better and, again, grow and scale their companies.
And guys, if you haven't listened to this podcast, go check it out. It's an amazing podcast, amazing episodes. And you do a lot of stuff on social media, which I'm a little jealous of personally. I wish I'd be better on that as you are. You do an amazing job on that.
Thanks, man.
So you mind just getting us started here, talking a little bit about accountability? I know you mentioned just a little bit ago that's something that you're working with yourself on. I know this is something I need help with myself.
Yeah.
I feel it, everybody needs this in their business. Like it, to me, just looking back at my own business and the landscaping side, I needed that. I needed that little push. I need somebody to kind of hold my hand a little bit and make sure I was doing the things I need to do, because I feel we get away of our own selves. Is that something you see?
No, for sure. And you know, I've coached, hundreds of people by now all across the country. And the core thing that's holding everybody back is just actually doing the work that is required. And it's because of lack of accountability, lack of discipline. And so what I've learned is majority of business owners know what they need to do, at least to a degree, right? Like everyone woke up this morning and they probably know how to go find a new customer, but it's not that fun. And so what I've learned is majority of business owners, yes, we give them guidance on what to do, but the what isn't what is missing. It's the actual doing the work. And so we really dive in on helping people tackle that first. And so I guess we can start wherever you want, but this kind of backtracks to my journey. Even when I was early on in my entrepreneurial career of my cleaning business, and long story short, I had a heart-to-heart conversation with myself. I looked myself in the mirror and, you know, I said, Matt, you're really good at talking. You know what to do, but you're not putting in the work, dude. Yeah, I mean, and this was 10, 11 years ago. And from that day forward, I've really been like passionate about figuring out what it is that will allow me to be as disciplined as humanly possible in my personal life and my business so I can move the needle in both of those areas.
That's smart. It is very difficult sometimes. Like you'll find yourself, you're just tired or you just don't, you don't have the energy today. How have you found a way to kind of work past that or push through it? Or is it just, you just got to do it? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I think all of us, you know, if anyone's listening to this podcast, they probably deep down feel like they were destined for something great or rare, right? Like you don't go start a business because you want to be average. And so I think all of us to some degree feel like we have greatness inside of us that we haven't found yet. And so for me, I've always felt like that, like since I was a young kid. And anytime I get into a slump or I have a debate with myself mentally, like, hey, I know I need to do this, but I don't want to, I then just simply ask myself, what type of person am I? And for me, having to actually admit to myself that, man, I'm just being lazy today, right? That is enough for me to actually get up and go put in the work, because I will not allow myself to be labeled as a lazy person, because I know deep down that's not what my potential is. Right. And so I think the first thing we have to do is understand that we have a God-given potential that none of us have hit. And in order to hit it, we're going to have to live a life that is rare and that is hard. And so I remind myself, like when things get hard or I'm tired, Alex Hormozi has a quote and he says, this is what hard feels like. And in a way, it gets exciting because you know, when you're feeling like that, like as an entrepreneur, you're like, man, this is hard. I don't want to do it. I'm tired. Like maybe I could just do it tomorrow. But then you decide to do it. It's a good feeling because you know that almost everybody else is going to quit. And so by putting in the work and taking that step of discipline, it gets you that much further ahead of your competitors.
The one thing I'm seeing, just even in the coaching side of stuff that I do, there's a difference between, and there's nothing sexist about this, but between men and women though. I feel men are more pushed by like what you said, I'm not a lazy person. I'm going to push myself through it. Like, I read the book from David Goggins, you know, where he just mentally pushes himself through. Mm. I'm feeling women don't have that. They do things different. And to me, it's like they have to build up these habits to kind of get through this. And I know habits is part of men's too, but
sure.
Is that something you see as well?
Yes. I'll say another big key factor in men or women being successful and disciplined is who they surround themselves with.
True.
Right? So if you're surrounding yourself, and this is just an example, but if you surround yourself with a bunch of guys, let's say 5 or 10 guys that don't care about their health and they're 50 pounds or 100 pounds overweight, I promise that you will be unhealthy. It's very unlikely that you will be jacked, super healthy, going to the gym every day. Why? Because your circle of influence is not pushing you to be that. Regardless of how strong or good we think we are very influenced by the people that we surround ourselves with. So the first thing that people can do is either kill their circle of influence if it's not serving them, or they can really focus on bringing new people in. And so I think it's completely normal and healthy to be leveling up your circle of influence on a regular basis. Like if you aren't adding new people who are better than you to your circle, I think you're staying stagnant.
For those that say they don't have anybody, they don't even know where to begin finding those people. Do you have any thoughts on that or where they should reach out or find these people?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a bunch of communities for the entrepreneurial space that you could be a part of. There's free programs, there's paid programs. I mean, sometimes you have to pay to get certain people in your life. And that's just the truth. Like, I've paid tens of thousands of dollars and met people along that journey that have now become some of my best friends. And people that I can call on when I'm having a hard day because I know they understand what I'm going through, right? Or people that are way further ahead of me that are pulling me up rather than pushing me down. And so you just have to try. Like, you listen to your podcast, you listen to my podcast, like I have a free Facebook group, you do coaching stuff. Like, there's hundreds of entrepreneurs just between the two of us that people can connect with, right? And I'm not necessarily saying these people are gonna be local to your community, but they don't have to be. And so I think your circle of influence is extremely, extremely important. And here's the other thing is entrepreneurship is lonely, but it's supposed to be because you're taking a path that most people don't. And what is required along the path of being an entrepreneur comes with a lot of sacrifice. And so majority of people aren't willing to live that life. And so you are going to feel like your circle is smaller than most. And the truth is it probably is, and that's okay.
I was just kind of messing around the other day on the computer, and I was actually searching for like local business groups to just my local area.
Yeah.
And it's amazing once you start looking for things like on meetups, and there's all kinds of different communities out there. So there's things you can probably do. I don't care if you're in a small town there, like you said, you can get on Facebook. There's all kinds of different groups out there. So just take the time to reach out and search, or heck, just email me, email, you know, Matt here, and just, he can give you ideas on where to find these people. Cause it is true. Like I see it. I'm on the fire department here, and you get around a bunch of guys that help push you and want to, you know, get better in your health or get better, whatever it is that we're doing in that task. And that's what keeps pushing you forward and keeps moving your thing, you know, moving the needle forward. And I think it's absolutely necessary, like you said.
Yeah. And like, let me give you an example. Like last April, I went on a trip to St. Louis. It was just a day trip. It was $3,000. And we flew, it wasn't my plane, obviously, but we flew private to this business event for, it was Andy Frisella and Ed Milet. And so there's a real estate broker in our town. He owns the number one real estate brokerage in the state of Michigan. And he made a Facebook post and he said, hey, we have one open ticket to this event. If you're interested in going, fill out this form and we'll pick someone. Well, they picked me to go. And I was willing to spend $3,000 because A, I get to be around him who's doing way bigger things than me. There's another guy that owns a franchise that does $150 million a year. I would have never got to meet that guy, right? And so there's like four or five contacts on this plane that I spent $3,000 to be around for 24 hours. But now I talk to him all the time. But if I wasn't willing to put up the money to do that, it would have never happened. And so I hate to say this, but like sometimes you have to pay to get in the right circles. And that's just how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I know one of your friends, Josh Latimer.
Yep.
I was actually looking at it because he has some different groups of some people that I know that have joined his program. And they're like, it's freaking awesome. Like they have like their own masterminds that they kind of have these relationships that they do exactly as you said. Now you can talk to them and reach out to them.
Yeah.
It's an awesome, awesome thing if you start getting going on this.
Yeah, it's huge. And I get it. There's probably a lot of guys in here like, dude, I don't have $3,000 for that. Like, that's okay. I didn't either in the beginning. But there are people in your community, like go find people that are running the biggest businesses in your town and start there and go provide those people value, give them free service, take them out to lunch, do whatever you can to become friends with these people. And I guarantee you, if you do that enough times, like your circle will start to change.
That's absolutely true. I never even thought about it this way. A long time ago, when we were struggling with understanding our numbers and how to create estimates, I reached out to like another landscape company. I reached out to another concrete company that was doing, you know, way bigger things like than what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they were so open and so willing to just invite me in. I paid for the lunch and they showed me everything. They like opened their books and showed me this is what we do. And it's like awesome. So
yeah,
again, like you said, reach out. You'll be amazed.
For sure.
Is there anything like tools or any systems that you recommend people need to start implementing to add accountability to their life?
All right. So one thing I do for every coaching client now is we basically at the end of every weekly call, we come up with a homework assignment or multiple that they have to do. That way we can make sure they're actually moving the needle in their business and life. But one thing that I found to be very beneficial, not just for myself, but for the people I work with, is to implement something on a daily basis that is physically hard to do and force yourself to do it. And so all these guys have access to me on Facebook. And so every day I require them to, and typically it's something to do with working out. I require them to send me a photo or video proof that got done every single day. And it's amazing that after 3-4 weeks of them doing these hard things, they become not hard anymore, right? And it becomes just a part of their routine. And they're like, okay, what else? Because like, this is easy. And what you realize is, the things you're struggling with right now, if you were just to force yourself to do it for 4 weeks straight, you wouldn't struggle with it anymore. It would become an easy task for you to do. And then you, at that point, would say, okay, what do I need to do next to level up again? And it's just this ongoing thing of doing hard things over and over until life's over, I guess. I don't know. I don't think it ever ends because I don't know that we'll ever reach our full potential, but that has been a hack, dude. I'm telling you, like doing something physically hard every single day, it's been a game changer for my business, for my life, And it's so simple, but people aren't willing to do it still because it takes discipline.
Do you find that the people that you, especially that you're working with, that helping them with having accountability in their personal lives has also affected their business life as well and changed the way they do business?
Yeah, because when I was getting on coaching calls, what I thought were going to be questions like, hey, how do I market my business? I'm having this business problem. The conversations were actually, hey, I'm 3 months behind on my mortgage. My marriage is failing. I'm not home with my kids. And it clicked for me like, dude, if the personal side isn't together, the business side will never work. And so it has to start on the personal level first. And that's why I'm so passionate about becoming the best version of yourself personally. Because if you can do that, the business stuff is easy. And so, yeah, it was just a natural progression for me with coaching that I had no intentions of talking about personal life, but almost every single person does.
Yeah.
And you start to realize like that is the key thing that has to get fixed before anything else can get worked on.
Very true. Because you're going to be thinking about those things in your home life while you're at work, trying to figure out whatever you need to do at work. And it's just going to be playing in the back of your head all the time.
Yep.
Now, I guess on the other side, you know, from your personal to your business side of things, we all want accountability. We want to have accountability, not just for ourselves, but for our team members and all our employees. Do you have any thoughts on how to establish or how to even get started adding accountability into your business if you have never done it before?
Yeah, for sure. I think you need to make it very simple. And so you have to figure out what it is you want to accomplish. And when it comes to employees, I think sometimes we overcomplicate things or we do things that make our employees lose trust in us. We have a million ideas as entrepreneurs and we're always trying to implement them into our business. And we think it's a good idea because we're thinking about our business 24/7, but to our employees, it's really overwhelming. And what it actually does is lose trust. And so I think we have to step back, look at it from an employee standpoint and say, what is it on a very simple level that I'm trying to accomplish? How can I create accountability in my employees? And sometimes that's creating very, very simple systems, like something as simple as a checklist, right? When they're on the truck for every single job, there's a checklist that gets done and a photo taken of it. And it gets put in the CRM in that person's account. That's something very simple that can create accountability for that crew or that employee. And so I think we oftentimes overcomplicate it, or we try to get our employees to care about our business as much as we do. And the truth is they don't. And they never will. And so the goal of the owner is to make things as streamlined and simplified as possible that we can plug any human being into that spot and it just works.
Another thing I think is a kind of misunderstanding. There's responsibility and then there's accountability. And I think, you know, we give people a task to do, whatever the task is, it doesn't matter. You give them a task to do and something happens. You know, something breaks, you know, the skidster breaks or whatever it is, doesn't matter. Something breaks.
Yep.
But they try doing it. An accountable person to me would be, okay, well, this broke. What do I need to do to fix this? Or who do I need to call to get this taken care of? Responsible person. Well, it just broke and just, I did what I could. That's it. I think there's something that you have to learn to help train people and guide people on through that accountability. Like, hey, if this happens, this is what you need to do. And it goes back to, like you said, the systems and checklists, like this happens, you need to do this.
Yeah.
But to me, it's a little bit of a training issue that you have, you know, we all want that accountability, but if you haven't taught them what to do or what, how to think or change your mind, because they're, like you said, nobody thinks the same way you do. Nobody does the same things you do. So you have to teach them how to do those things. It just happens to us naturally because that's the type of person we are, especially as entrepreneurs. So
yeah,
I think that's something that you have to really think about, is the responsibility versus accountability and how it plays in your business.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think we've all had our A plus employees and our D minus employees, right? And here's what I've always found, especially running a small home service business. Like, I'll say this, I think the home service business space is like one of the best opportunities out there right now. I think it's only going to get better, but it's all based on labor. So like your landscaping lawn care business doesn't run unless you have a bunch of guys to do the work, right? And so you have to create an environment and you have to be the type of person that people want to actually work for, and you have to be different. And so if the owner, I mean, dude, it is just not hard to stand out as an owner. Like if you just even care a little bit about your employees and you actually do the things that you say you want them to do and you're willing to do them yourself, that's the biggest problem, right? Is like everybody wants to tell people what to do, but no one's actually willing to put in the work and work alongside them. And your employees see that. They can see right through you. And so I think for me, the biggest thing that I found in every single business I've ever built is I've always been willing to be on the floor, be in the field, do whatever it was right next to those guys, regardless of if the business is doing 200,000 or 5 million. It didn't matter. And so, you know, I hate the word like company culture because I think it's used a lot. But I think the better way to put it is like, are you the type of owner that is willing to do whatever it takes right next to your guys any day of the week, regardless of the size of the business? And if so, your employees will see that and they will work for you hard because they understand that the guy that they're working for is willing to do the job they're doing.
Yeah. I can recall a time when I did the same thing. I'd be out there digging, shoveling the mud, doing whatever I had to do because rain coming in or whatever it had to be done. And at one point, the one of the employees is like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? I'm like, because we need to get this done. He's like, yeah, go home. You know, he's like, your job is to go get estimates, go get sales and make, you know, get us business, get us work. And it was kind of cool when they actually started to see that and realize that's my goal.
Yeah.
Or that's my job, I should say. And it's kind of cool when you start seeing that shift in mindset of those people, but you have to put in that work though. Like you said, I agree.
Yeah, you have to. And of course, we all want to have a business that's systemized to a point where we don't have to be in the field every day and everything. I understand that. That's the goal. And that should be the goal, by the way. And it's super obtainable. However, when times are hard, when the business is busy, when the guys are working overtime, when they're working on Saturdays and you're not there ever, employees get disgruntled very quick. Yeah. And they start to realize the guy I'm working for isn't willing to do the work like we are, right? Mm-hmm. I have a couple buddies in certain home service business space. And I think about one of my friends in the roofing industry, and he's a owner. Business is very systemized. He isn't doing really anything he doesn't want to do anymore, but he will if he has to. And because of that, he has no turnover. He's got the best crews. The business is exploding. That's the kind of owner you have to be, especially in the home service business space, because it's so labor intensive and people intensive that without people, the business doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. We don't have the luxury of running an e-com business or a tech company of some sort where we can build a $5 million company with three guys,
yeah.
Right? And so it just takes a different type of owner, I believe, to run a successful, you know, landscape or home service company.
The other thing I'll throw out there is, you know, it's your responsibility as the owner to look at your team. And like you said, have, you know, those A players and D players. Those A players don't want to be working alongside the D players. They'll do a little bit to try to train them and teach them. But after a certain point, they're done. Like, and that's when you're going to lose your A players, and you have to do what you got to do to either get rid of those D players or coach them, get them to better, be a better person or whatever. But they don't want to work alongside of it. And it goes along the lines to me a little bit like what you said with the culture is they don't want to have that culture. They don't want to be teaching. They want to be working. And you have to get rid of those bad people, unfortunately, or do something, put them somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah. And kind of like we said earlier about your circle of influence for personal life. The same thing goes for your employees, right? So if you have one or two A players and they're surrounded by five or six D players, I promise you those A players are going to become C players.
Yeah.
Happens every time. And I know it because I've made the mistake, right? Like I've had one or two really bad employees destroy the majority of our good employees because I kept them around when I should have fired them. And looking back, it's hard to blame them. It's like, well, why would that guy bust his butt when he's getting paid the same as the other guy who's not? Makes no sense. So the circle of influence for your employees is the exact same as your personal life.
Yeah.
So that's a really good way to think about it.
I can share like in our fire department right now, I've actually had a meeting and we have an officers meeting and we talked about having accountability. I brought it up because there is no accountability sometimes with some of the things. And we have a mixture of like full-time people and part-time people. Well, the problem we're seeing in our department now is we have part-time people come in, but they're not doing anything. Like we have like morning chores, daily chores, clean the restroom, just clean the rigs or whatever. And they're not doing that. I'm like, well, who's holding them accountable to make sure they know what they need to do? Maybe they don't need to know what to do. And then like it's going through this whole process and it's completely different than what, you know, our landscaping business, because I had all the systems in place in this department.
Yeah.
Have all this stuff. It's like, well, this is what we need to do. And it's a little bit different because that I'm not in charge of the fire department. I can't like say we need to do this type of stuff. So it's a definite mentality. But going along those lines, it's like, I'm not seeing the change. It's like, man, do I want to be here? Is this like where I want to be? Because they're not willing to do this and letting these, not, I'm not calling these people lazy. They just maybe not know, but they're not doing anything different. I'm trying to coach what I can. But like to me, as an employee side of things now, it's like totally different mindset because I know what can be done. And it's it's interesting just being on the other side of the fence now, being kind of a worker, I guess, than the owner. So it's,
yep,
it's true. It's true.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have toxic people, Josh Latimer used to tell me this really early on. He said, if you have cancer inside your business, it will spread.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And so that's a really good way to look at bad employees. Bad employees are the cancer.
Yeah.
And if you leave them there, it will spread. And I get it. People are like, dude, I can't fire this guy. Like, I have work on the books and blah, blah, blah. I promise you, you're going to have a bigger problem 3 months down the road from now, because you're going to have to not just fire one employee, but you're going to have to fire five because now they've all been infected and you can't bring them back. So yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah. Is there anything else you could think of as far as accountability inside of a business, like how we get started or what do we need to do to help improve our business?
That's a pretty loaded question. I think it depends on the company, right? I think everyone is at they're at different levels. You know, I don't know specifically your audience, what majority of those, what the guys are, if they're smaller landscape businesses or what, but if so, they're probably a 1 to 3 person company. A lot of that falls on the owner as personal discipline and accountability, right? You know, the bigger you get, the more need for systems. Like when I coach people and they're like, okay, I want to implement systems in my business. Like they're expecting it to be this big complicated thing, but it's not, right? Like it's the silliest, like I just mentioned, like our crews on the truck, like they have a checklist of what has to be done from start to finish on every single job. It gets checked off, job name, signed, uploaded into the CRM. What does that do? That eliminates 95% of the callbacks of, hey, you guys left this piece of equipment here, or this ladder, or there's towels in my yard, or there's a screen left out, or you guys didn't do a walk around, or whatever the case is, because there's a very simple system called a checklist, right? Or we have training on exactly our 3-point touch system with the customer when the crews are on the job. So every single customer gets talked to the exact same way. That way the customer experience is as close to the same as humanly possible through every crew, right? And these are basic, basic things. And so when people talk about systems, it sounds like a fancy word, but it's just a word for coming up with a very simple process that your people can follow. And so break it down from start to finish, dude. Like, you know, for landscape crews, what is important for your crew to understand from the second they get there in the morning until when they finish that job at the end of the day? And then create some type of very simple system for them to follow in order for them not to miss any steps. And I think when you simplify things like that, it gets a lot easier. Same thing goes for your office staff, your salespeople. You just break it down into a really simple form.
Yeah, I agree. Years ago, we had a package deal of checklist that we sold for our $1 million landscaper program. And I had one person that emailed me, said they wanted their money back. Okay, yeah, no problem. I have no problem doing that. And I asked him, just curious why. He's like, well, I thought it'd be more. I'm like, well, what did you want? I'm like, these are checklists of everything that needs to get done. I'm like, and the one was, I give example, was mowing. And part of the checklist was they have to pick up the garbage so they don't mow over it and make it from one piece to a million pieces. I'm like, do people do this every time in your business? Well, no. Okay. Well, then this is what the checklist is supposed to accomplish.
Yeah.
I gave him the money back. I'm not going to argue with that, but
yeah,
it's like, like you said, it's these simple things that make a huge difference in your business. And yes, a checklist may seem simple, but it is easy to implement, and it's what's going to make the big difference and make your team get better and better. You can always improve those checklists and add to it, but you have to start with the simple things.
Yeah. I mean, same things happened with me. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. We created a marketing plan for this guy and he gets it, and it's detailed month to month, start to finish for the whole year. And he's like, I want my money back. I'm like, okay, no problem. What's up? Well, I thought there was going to be something on here like I didn't know. I'm like, dude, there is no magic ball. But your business is doing $100,000 a year for a reason. It's because you have no accountability. You have no plan. So here's the plan. All you have to do is just stick to the plan. I've laid it out for you perfectly, right? And so it's just funny because, like we said earlier, people, for the most part, know what to do. They're just not willing to do it. And I think that's exciting for people who are willing to do it, because that's your competitors. Like, most of your competitors are lazy. They're not disciplined. They're overweight. They eat like crap. They have a bad family life. Fill in the blank, right? And so if you can be that guy that's not all of those things, if you can become the best version of yourself, become insanely disciplined, you will smash your competition.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. And so I think it's exciting because, you know, not bragging, but for somebody like myself who is very passionate, like I'm very passionate about chasing the best version of myself. I want to know what that guy is. That's scary for the guys I'm competing against locally, because I know they're not like that. And the good news is anyone can be that guy. They just have to make the decision to do so.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say for myself personally, because I'm literally tomorrow, I'm signing up for a coaching program to help hold myself more accountable, because that's why this podcast is like perfect timing.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is something I need to do. And again, it goes to the things I know I need to do, but it's trying to like prioritize and figure out exactly what the best way, you know, just kind of get other input. And it's awesome. I'm very excited for this program to start doing this and start implementing my business, because I'm excited to see how I can become better, because I'm always looking at myself and critiquing myself and trying to figure out how to be better. And I think that's something that every entrepreneur needs to be doing. We should never get complacent in thinking this is the best way. There's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. And this is something you need to be thinking about everything you do in your business, but just pick one thing, choose it, make it better, simplify it, whatever you got to do. And just take that first step. Otherwise you're going to be stuck. And like you said, the guy doing $100,000 a year, they're going to get stuck. And we see this all the time in the landscape industry. People get stuck. They don't want to change anything, but they don't want to be the same where they're at. Well, you have to change something to make a difference. So start doing something.
Yeah, dude, you have to. It's amazing when, I know we're talking about personal stuff a lot, and probably people are hoping this is more of a business podcast, but I'm just such a believer that without one, you can't have the other. When you focus on one thing personally that you're struggling with, like when you look yourself in the mirror, or when maybe there's a single guy or girl on here and they're like, okay, this is the type of person I want to date or marry one day. What are the qualities in that other person that you want? What are really important to you? And then look at yourself and say, do I have those qualities? Okay. So for me, that was where I started. I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, okay, this is what I want in another person. And one of those things for me was like someone who's healthy that works out. And I'm like, dude, look at yourself. Like you're 30 pounds overweight. You're unhealthy. You eat out every day. And so for a year straight, I was like, I'm going to the gym 5-6 days a week until I become this person. And then I mastered that, right? And then it's on to the next thing while still doing the gym thing, because now it's just part of my routine. And so I don't think there's an easy answer to the business side either. Like the reality is we know what has to get done. Majority of it is not fun, but it's required. Yeah. And so just like the marketing, there is no magic eight ball that you don't know exists right now when it comes to marketing and acquiring customers. The same thing goes with your accountability and the things in your business that are boring or not fun. Like they just are. There is just no way around it. If you want to grow and scale, that is part of the plan that has to happen.
For those that, again, kind of going back to just need to get started, we talked about, changing the people you're around.
Yeah.
Is there any books or anything that if somebody just needs to kind of get started, doesn't have anything necessarily right away, is there anything that's kind of stood out to you or something that you would recommend for people to kind of change their mindset if they can't afford a coaching, they can't afford to do something?
I'll be honest with you. I get asked this question kind of a lot. I don't ever read.
Okay.
I do listen to podcasts. I would say if you're feeling a little demotivated and you just want to hear it straight, Alex Hormozi talks a lot. I think he's got a podcast called The Game. He talks a lot about this stuff, and he's very blunt in the aspect of he's not going to sugarcoat how you want to feel. His story is very inspiring, and he's just a very basic guy. Like he simplifies everything, and I really, really like the way he teaches. So if you go check out Alex Hormozi on YouTube or on, whatever podcast you listen to, that would be a really good start for free.
I'll just share a book that I just started listening to. It's called Accountability in the Workplace. I can't remember the name. I'll put it in the show notes. I can't remember the author's name, but it's actually really good. It's a different mindset and different way of thinking. They start off talking about like some of the older ways of holding people accountable. And it was sharing of, back in the day, before people, you needed that job. So the scare tactic was in place. Like you just did what you had to do to make the boss happy. And that was kind of a scare tactic. Well, it's a whole different mindset nowadays, especially with the younger generation coming in and understanding like the why behind the things. And it's a different mindset. And I think it's a really good book. And I'd really recommend anybody out there. It's called, again, Accountability in the Workplace. And I'll put the link, but it is actually a good book to kind of get going and thinking and changing your way, because that's something that we see many landscapers are stuck kind of in the older mindset of things and just scaring people. Not everybody, but they're just,
yep.
I said to do it this way. And that's how it has to happen. That's how I grew up. Like I literally was telling somebody the other day, I remember when I was little in high school and out working in the field, I remember my dad like yelling at somebody because they're doing something wrong in the truck. And like my dad literally chased the guy out of the truck. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, yeah. I'm nervous. What is going on here? But that's just, it's a different mindset. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that. So I think, again, this is a really good book and I really recommend it for anybody out there.
No, that's cool, man. Yeah. I only don't read books because I kind of suck at reading and I don't comprehend very well. And so I just know that about myself. Like, I've always been that way.
Sure.
So yeah. I'm just more of a podcast guy for sure. Yeah. I will say this though, and I know we're probably running out of time here, but also be careful about like how much you consume, right? Because what I've made the mistake in my life where like I over consume content. Maybe some people overread books. Like I see friends of mine, they're like, oh, I read like 25 books this year. It's like, cool. How much of that did you actually implement? Right. And so it's like, I would rather see someone be like, I read one book this year and I implemented as much as humanly possible out of it over the course of 12 months.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's something I've really been focusing on too. Cause I'm just as guilty of that as anyone is. I can listen to a million podcasts over the course of a week and do nothing with any of the information I learned. And so, you know, sometimes it's good just to turn it all off and actually get to work.
Yeah. And it's so much easier nowadays is to get this information, YouTube, TikTok,
yeah,
all the social media platforms. There's so much information out there and it's exactly true. Like we'll just, yeah, it's a great idea, but it goes back of your head and that's it. You know, you don't really ever implement it. So yeah, I agree 100%. It's taking the action that going back to like David Goggins, he's like, you just got to do it. Well, it's true. You just have to take the time. You have to put the energy to it. And like you said, working out, whatever it is, you just have to put the energy into it and make it happen.
Yeah, man. There's just no easy answer. That's all. So,
yeah.
But it's good. You know, the exciting part is for those that are willing to do the work that is required, there's a massive outcome and they will live a life that most people don't.
Yeah. I love it. Well, Matt, I appreciate you being on here today and sharing your stories and tips here. How can people get hold of you? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So first, if you want to do something free, they can go on Facebook and join the free Facebook group. So if you guys just search Service Industry Tribe with Matt Smith, or maybe you can even put a link in the show notes,
yep,
100% free. I am in there every single day. We have well over 100 people in there now, but like my goal would be to get like 500 home service business owners in there that are sharing wins every day, sharing losses, difficulties, and like just become this massive family. Right? That is literally my sole mission for that Facebook group. And so anyone listening, I would encourage to go join that because it's a positive spot to be on social media. And then just my website, serviceindustrycoach.com. And then obviously I have the podcast, which is the Service Industry Podcast.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. He's got a lot of great stuff, a lot of great stuff on his website. I was on there this morning. The website looks great, by the way.
Thanks, man.
But no, it's awesome to have you on here and sharing this great stuff. And I know people need to do this stuff. It just, like you said, you have to implement it. So take some words of wisdom from Matt here and go apply this and make it happen in your business. Change your friends, change your group, whatever you got to do. You can make a difference in your life and your business life as well.
For sure.
So thanks, Matt. I appreciate you being on here and look forward to having you on again in the future.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
That's a wrap on another exciting episode here of the Million Dollar Landscaper Podcast. Now, thank you for joining us on this journey and thank you for being a member of our community. Remember our motto, do it dirty means just get started and not be afraid of making mistakes. We honestly believe this is one of the keys to the success in this industry and in life. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment, head over to Apple and leave us a review. Your support helps us reach more listeners and bring even more value to the show. Until next time, keep doing it dirty and grow your business to new heights.